from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
For your drive home. I mean, you know how it is, rocking and rolling and whatnot.
This is Dukes and Bell.
Brought to you by Finley Roofing.
We've got you covered.
Atlanta's most trusted and recommended roofer.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It is Dukes and Bell with our man Chris Thomas in for Carl today, who's down on the beach earning 20%, as Hans Gruber would say. Hope everybody's having a good one. We got our man Drew Butler ready to go. Bobby Carpenter is going to talk about the Big Ten. And is this the year that the Buckeyes finally get Ryan Day and his Grecian Formula number 10 beard into the championship of college football? He joins us right now as we talk some dogs.
Dukes and Bell on the sidelines with the dogs.
Hey, man. Hearing Drew on the steakhouse. As a steak, by the way, just posted a video of Atlanta Mangia over in Italy. He's at one of the famous sandwich shops in Florence. And it was kind of funny, Drew, watching Steak eat the sandwich as people are just hustling and bustling by as if he's not even there.
Yeah, usually he gets a little bit of elbow room when he films those videos in Atlanta. As everybody knows, Steak gets around and rates the sandwiches. But they did not seem to care when he was in the streets of Florence. That sandwich did look really good, though. I'll give him that.
You got to go on Steak's Twitter page. Chris, I mean, it's the fresh baked artisan bread. What is this? Genoa salami? It's amazing. The sandwich really does look
what
great.
What is it, focaccia?
Always working our buddy Steak, even when he's across the world. All right, Drew, let's start with the dogs who could be feasting on their own schedule coming in just a couple of weeks before we kick this thing off. Let's start with the first game in Clemson, because I really think that this thing with Dabo, not only on the field with Georgia, but off the field, could be coming to a head if he doesn't adapt or die, so to speak, with the way that college football is being played in 2024.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, the last time these two teams played was up in Charlotte to kick off the 2021 season. And, of course, Georgia's defense showed up big that day. Christopher Smith had the long return for an interception touchdown, and the Dogs went on to win a national championship. And the two programs have really gone, I guess you could say, in opposite directions since then. I mean, heading into that first game in 2021, nobody really knew what Georgia was capable of. They hadn't really gotten over the hump yet to, you know, much less take down Alabama, although they end up winning a national championship game against Alabama. So Georgia's won two national championships in that time. Clemson has not been back to the national championship since then, and a lot rides on Kate Klubnik for Clemson. I mean, there's just no question about it. Dabo Swinney's success has been directly correlated to Clemson having elite quarterback play like Deshaun Watson and Trevor Lawrence. But I saw Greg McElroy came out and said that Clemson-Georgia week one is his number one non-conference game of the season, and he noted that Georgia is a huge favorite, almost a 2-touchdown favorite, but he thinks that Clemson could really bring it to the Dogs in week one, and it could be a much closer game than people expect. So I can't wait for the storylines that come out during training camp leading up to that game, because these are two teams that I feel like they should play much more often than they do, and when it's in Mercedes-Benz Stadium, it's always a great environment.
Yeah, Drew, it's Drew Butler with us, guys, on the WadeFord.com hotline. Hear him on the steakhouse. I just thought, you know, when Dabo, just like Bobby Bowden, when you've got a machine and you're cooking, you know, it's hard to replace some of those good assistant coaches. You know, when you lose Kevin Steele and you lose some of the heart and soul guys, you know, Mark Richt has been able to keep on trucking without, you know, without losing that juice. I just thought that, man, for instance, the Clemson-Florida State game, they got Florida State on the ropes. They call some of the dopiest-ass plays you'd ever expect. They do the one thing that you can't do. Florida State's able to move forward. I mean, to me, it's like, does Dabo have the right guys? And we all know about his aversion to the transfer portal.
Yeah, you know, the aversion to the transfer portal, and I guess I can say, in my experience, they have leaned into NIL a pretty substantial amount at Clemson. But the ACC has caught up to Clemson, and it's by Clemson's own doing, which is probably the most frustrating part for all Clemson Tiger fans, because they're looking around. Look what the Florida State Seminoles did last year. I mean, they added big time through the transfer portal, and they had a phenomenal season until, of course, we all knew what happened with Jordan Travis going down and everybody sitting out in the bowl game. But this is the nature and the reality of college football in 2024, and for whatever reason, Dabo Swinney has stuck his head in the sand and said, hey, we're doing things our way. We're not going into the transfer portal. And then he becomes almost a caricature of himself when he says, yeah, we've got 24 transfers coming in this year. They're all just transferring from high school to Clemson. I mean, that is hilarious that he would come out and say that, but I can promise you that the fan base is sitting there saying, you better win a lot of football games if you're doing it your way or the highway. Because if they don't get the results that he's been proven to show you in the past, they might want to look otherwise.
Talking with Drew Butler, guys, about the Georgia Bulldogs. Everybody's been pointing to the Formula One weekend. Oh, that's me. No, it's, of course, it's going to be Georgia taking on Texas. It's going to be bananas. Not sure how many dog fans. We were looking at hotel prices that are just through the roof. If you haven't booked it, I mean, you might as well be staying in El Paso or, you know, or even San Antonio be closer. It just seems like it's going to be an electric game. Is the defensive line, Drew, going to be up there? Because they had transformative first-round, you know, picks, the big dogs that were really gobbling up space in the middle, and I just don't know if that exists right now on Georgia's roster.
You know, Mykel Williams, who's obviously an edge rusher for Georgia, he's a total stud. Probably going to be a first-rounder, and I think the thing that Georgia's gotten really lucky with through kind of the culture that they've built within the program is they get guys who do develop and stick around. You look at Warren Brinson and Azeer Stackhouse. Their two interior defensive linemen were probably going to be leading the way at the start of the season and hopefully continuing to lead the way mid-October when they head out to Austin. Those are guys that have gotten a ton of experience, and they've learned from first-round draft picks and guys who have played in the NFL, and they've gone up against really good offensive linemen. So when you have that type of development, Mike, and then you're able to tell these guys all summer long, and then when fall camp starts, hey, you're the leaders now. You're the big dogs. You need to step up. And Mike Hill is going to go get the quarterback, you know, and Smile Mundon behind you and C.J. Allen behind us. Those are the guys who are total studs all around the defense. You just need the zero and one to block up the run game, right? Like, be the ones who can really be the wrecking balls inside that defensive line that Georgia was lucky to have in their back-to-back national championship run. So, you have some question marks, but it gives me reason to believe I should have some optimism knowing how much experience those guys have had.
Drew, I'm looking at a three-game sample size here towards the back end of the season, and one game sticks out for me that I think could be a trap game, and I'll tell you why. You're at Texas on October 19th. We just talked about that. Then you got the cocktail party, which I know Florida's not going to be anything special, but that's still, you got to get up for that game every single year. And then you're at Ole Miss. They, I think, are going to be very sneaky good this year, and that is a game that I think could be a potential pitfall for Georgia. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, they're not going to be sneaky. They're going to be good. Ole Miss is going to have a really good season this year, and I think life and a certain level of juice around that program, knowing that 12 teams are making it to the college football playoff. You know, I don't think Ole Miss is sitting there. I'll just say this. I would imagine inside the locker room, they're saying, hey, we could be a top four team. But I can guarantee you the majority of the fan base is saying, hey, we could be a team from 4 to 12, and we'll make our way into the college football playoff this year. The way it's been set up in years past, Ole Miss is that team looking out because of the division they're in, right? They got to go up against Alabama and LSU, and it's just been too tall of a task for Lane Kiffin and the Rebels to get past that SEC championship game. This is a prime situation. The teams like Penn State, Ole Miss, I'll throw Tennessee in there as well. It is a new season of college football. Going back to the Texas and the Florida, Georgia, of course, getting a bye week before the cocktail party, that'll be huge for them to reset. I'm not sure what Florida's going to be like this year. I think we're all kind of waiting to see. But Georgia will be ready to go on there and play Ole Miss. I think if Kirby Smart and his coaching staff showed you anything a year ago, because remember, that was a big-time game, College Game Day. Fowler and Herbstreit were on the call. It was a night game in Athens. They flexed their muscles big time, not only from a personnel standpoint, but from a coaching and preparation standpoint. Georgia kind of put their thumb on Ole Miss and said, y'all are not here yet. Ole Miss will definitely remember that, and it will be a big-time atmosphere in Oxford.
I know that when they play Alabama, they got bulletin board material thanks to Jalen Milroe, and some of those things that Nick Saban would absolutely be apoplectic about, I would imagine. I'm not sure how Kalen DeBoer will come down on this, but Jalen Milroe going, I think it was on a Kublik show, right, over in Birmingham with the McElroy and company, and was basically saying that he knew in the SEC championship, they looked over, Georgia was basically shook.
So. You know, it's interesting because you talk about that game, and I was at that game. There was a weird feeling inside that stadium. You know, I don't think anybody could have told you pregame that Nick Saban was going to hang it up at the end of the season. Georgia was riding that unbelievable winning streak. And as a Georgia fan, I mean, I had my fan hat on when I walked into the SEC championship game. You're kind of looking around and you're thinking about the back-to-back national championships. And, yeah, we beat Alabama and Indianapolis. But there is just one thing, and it's still out there, there's one thing that Georgia has not been able to do, and that was knock off Nick Saban in Alabama in Atlanta. They still haven't done it. There was a little bit of that hesitancy before the game, but, you know, I saw some sort of narrative, and it's like what Milroe said, they didn't want any. I mean, Georgia was down. They fought all the way back. They lost by 3 points, turnover in the red zone, missed a field goal. I mean, Georgia really gave it all they had. Alabama was just a better team that day.
And for those who hadn't seen the quote or heard the quote, Jalen Milroe on Jocks over in Birmingham saying, I'm big on body language and looking in the opponent's eyes. They look defeated. They didn't want any more, talking about the talk. So I could just see Kirby. I got some for y'all to read. Hey, before we cut you loose, we're talking with Drew Butler. Did Rory Gack it or did Bryce win it, or is it basically the truth's in the middle? Because we saw what Rory did and it was inexcusable.
Yeah, it was inexcusable. I mean, you look at the statistics. He had a two-shot lead with five holes to go, and he missed two putts inside 3.5 feet. He never does that. He was 496 of 496 on putts inside 3 feet. He missed a putt inside 3 feet on 16, and all he had to do was make that little 3.5-foot slider on 18 to force a playoff, and I guarantee you, it would have made Bryson play it a little bit differently as well. Hats off to Bryson. All-time Sandy Parr. He snipes it left on 18. Right. He punches it into the bunker. And then he makes one of the greatest shots in U.S. Open history, knocking it up there to about 4.5 feet, making his par to win the U.S. Open. But Rory, man, I mean, I'm a Rory fan. I can say that out loud. It hurt me because I thought that was his championship to win. And he just couldn't hold on to it and couldn't convert when he needed it to. So hopefully he can pick it back up at Royal Troon in the Open Championship in July.
I was just screaming at the TV for Bryson to hit 3 wood off the tee, but he couldn't take his foot off the gas, and that native area was perilous. Hey, man.
Oh, man.
By the way, I'm not a fan of Pinehurst, but I know the purists love it. I just, man, to me, the randomness of where they put I call it debris, just seems to me a bit silly. I mean, I know when you play East Lake, you know, if you're off the fairway, Drew, you're in the rough. You can't get out. But to have like a pineapple stalk sticking out right in front of you just by pure happenstance doesn't seem fair to me.
Yeah, well, hey, next year at Oakmont Country Club outside of Pittsburgh, that's going to be a bruiser. So I can't wait for that one.
Hey, man, by the way, when you see steak, do you know who I am? In Italian is sai chi sono. So that there you go. So,
there you go. Thank you.
Thanks, Drew. We'll be listening, man. Appreciate you coming on.
All right, guys. Cheers.
You got it, man. Catch him on the Steakhouse. This hour of the show brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. We'll come back, talk some more college football with Bobby Carpenter from SiriusXM College Host News, something about the Buckeyes. I got a feeling it's Georgia and Ohio State in a collision course.
Collision course. I think the Longhorns, Carl's team, may have something to say about that.
We'll talk about it next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Our favorite guy is Bobby Carpenter. He's going to join us in just a second. He does Sirius XM College Radio, and of course, a former Buckeye knows something about the Big Ten. We'll get his take on what seems to be, arguably could be the most exciting year in college football history, if everything in the playoff gives us the kind of surprises and twists and turns we're expecting.
Yeah, I'm excited to ask him about how he thinks Michigan is going to do this year, because they got the new coach, they're going to have a new quarterback, they're going to have a new star running back. But is it going to be enough to compete with the team, with the guy that we're about to talk to?
Right. Also, guys, I'm curious, you know, what does this new Big Ten look like? Because, you know, Lincoln Riley's still not showing the ability to recruit defense, or at least get defense on the field for the Trojans. And certainly we lose out, you know, Caleb Williams goes to the Bears, UCLA was without a coach. So, I mean, is the merging of some of the, you know, it never made sense. Look, we're past the geographic stuff. None of that makes any sense anymore. But yeah, I'd be curious to see how style makes the fight with those guys coming to the Big Ten. Ready to go, Oren? Harry's ready, ready on the WadeFord.com hotline. Just talking about Bobby Carpenter. Bobby, we were just saying earlier, not to blow smoke up Columbus way, but it seems like Michigan last year, it's Ryan Day. Right. Can you hear us, Bobby?
I got you guys.
There you go. We were saying it's this year, it's Ohio State's turn to win the championship, because it seems like you guys have loaded up in the offseason.
Well, that's always the plan. But, yeah, they made a big push. Obviously, a couple guys coming in the portal. But probably the biggest thing was, I mean, they got a lot of guys to come back, which you have a number of seniors coming back. I think you've seen that with Bama in the past, Georgia, guys who have had a lot of personal success, maybe want to come back for some team goals. You know, that always gives you a veteran team, and a veteran team can solve a lot of problems for you on the field when things are going on. So talent is key. But I like old talent as much as you can get it.
What's the quarterback situation looking like? I know there's a lot of young faces with a lot of talent, but you got some veterans through the portal, as you just mentioned, as well.
Yeah, I mean, Will Howard came in. I think that's obviously the biggest piece. When you start talking about the quarterback situation, being a veteran guy at Kansas State, led him to a Big 12 title over TCU a couple of years ago when TCU made it to the national championship. So he's played a lot of games. He's battled. He's a big dude. He's a physical guy. A little bit maybe more of a runner than they've had in the past. You know, Ryan's been reluctant to name a starter, and I think he's going to let this competition kind of bleed into training camp for a couple of weeks just to make certain, if he feels confident about who it is. You know, Wills looks really good. I mean, he's got a lot of ability. He's played a ton of football, which helps a lot. They've got good receivers surrounding him.
Of all the schools that are joining the Big Ten, is Oregon the one you're probably most worried about actually making some noise this year?
Yeah, I mean, I think when you would have looked at this 3 or 4 years ago, like, hey, USC, they would have been the team. And, you know, not that they're not talented, but they just haven't necessarily been able to finish seasons. And despite having a Heisman Trophy winning quarterback last year, they, you know, I think 7-5, 8-4, you're not a great season. They hadn't been able to stop anybody. And maybe to get that change, you got a new defensive coordinator. But, you know, Washington, obviously very good last year. But with Oregon getting Dillon Gabriel from Oklahoma, I give a ton of respect for Dan Lanning with how he's built that program. They're very, very talented. Just like Ohio State, they have a veteran quarterback. Ohio State has to go to Autzen. They've got to go out and play in Eugene this year, which maybe could be the first of two matchups between them, should they meet in the Big Ten Championship. So I would say it's definitely Oregon, especially with Kalen DeBoer leaving Washington. And you know, when you lose all the talent that they did with Rome Odunze and Michael Penix Jr., they've had guys transfer out. And so I think Washington will be good. But if you look at it, I think probably the consensus in the country is Ohio State and Georgia and Texas and Oregon are kind of that top four this year.
Talking with Bobby Carpenter of SiriusXM College, as well as locally out there where the Ohio State Buckeyes are looking to make their claim to a natty. All right, the other team, those guys in the maize and blue, they're replacing a lot of parts in their head coach and their quarterback and their running back and their star receiver. Where do you think they fit in the pecking order?
That's going to be interesting. You know, whenever you have a new coach, you know, a guy that coached a ton of football, and granted, he coached a lot of games last year, but they always say there's three parts to coaching. Obviously, there's the in-game element of it. Then there's the recruiting element of it. Now recruiting is even three parts. It's, you know, high school guys, re-recruit your own guys, and then going out and seeing what's in the portal. And then the last piece, there's really no other way to get exposure to it, because you can coach a game if a coach is out, but it's really running the day-to-day operations and managing the entire program, being that CEO. And it's a tough spot. Obviously, you know, he's put in, did a great job last year. Now he's got to manage the whole thing. They lost a ton of guys. They were a national championship team for a reason, losing a ton of players, including their quarterback. So they'll have to rebuild. I think they'll be good, but it wouldn't surprise me. You know, they use the term like take a step back, meaning, you know, you're not going undefeated, maybe more like 10-2 this year, just as you're breaking in a lot of new parts.
Mm. You know, Bobby, we got to blame you guys and the Fox and that Big Ten stuff, because now we got to watch SEC games at noon because they're going to go toe-to-toe with the Big Ten. It's Bobby Carpenter with us, your guy, SiriusXM College host. Georgia, we were just talking about it with Drew Butler, the former Georgia kicker. I don't really know where the defensive line is going to be as good as the championship caliber years, but it sure seems like Georgia, maybe the onus is on offense this year. What do you think of the Bulldogs?
You know, like you said, they've got when you have a veteran quarterback, a guy who's played, that helps. And so, you know, obviously Stetson Bennett left a couple of years ago. You insert your quarterback, you begin to move along. You have a full year under your belt now. You know Georgia's recruited at a high level. You see that in the rankings. You know Kirby Smart's a great coach. It's like they check all the boxes. Like, and I say, people always like, who's going to be the national champ? I'm like, man, there's like five probably. I'd have to see other teams start to play. Offhand, you might see 6, 7, 8 teams that have the talent to do it. One of the other elements is all the reorganization within the conferences, how the conference championship games are set up, how the asymmetric scheduling within the conference, because there's so many teams, so you can't play everyone. And then you've got the new 12-team playoffs. So, I mean, all those teams we're talking about, I think they're going to be in there. But the one of the things that's hard to, you know, quantify is you're playing maybe 16 or 17 games. You may have, you know, four games, possibly three if you get a bye, that you're going to need to win a national championship, as opposed to maybe it was just one and then it was two. And so now, like, it's such a longer road. So I think teams' depth is going to be tested in a big way. Georgia has that depth. They'll be there. It's just, can you sustain injuries at a specific position? And then do you get some bounces and luck along the way?
Bobby, when it comes to the 12-team playoff that you just mentioned, how sustainable do you feel that it is, and how soon do you expect the next big change to come that people will be clamoring for?
Oh, gosh. You know, we've already talked about potentially going to 14, because as you look at it, here's the thing. Like, if some is good, more is always better, right? Like, that's where we're at in America. And I don't disagree. I love college football. It'll be interesting to see how they juggle all that this year with the NFL, and I think there'll be some tweaking to the schedules of, you know, when teams play. You know, that I think that first 20th and 21st of December is going to be it's going to be tough because you look at, I think they play Friday night, and then they play three games on Saturday. And those Saturday games are going to go up against some NFL games.
Right.
You start looking at some of the NFL games that are playing. I think it's Pittsburgh and Baltimore. And then you have Kansas City and maybe the Texans. So, like, those are premier matchups. Well, I mean, it's not without the realm of possibility that you could have the Texas Longhorns playing in one of those windows and maybe the Penn State Nittany Lions. So you have teams within the region. A lot. You look at the Venn diagram of football fans, and there's in those areas, there's a big overlay between college and NFL. And so I'm just curious how they're going to like work this out with the TV contracts. And I'm sure, heck, it may even get political. Because there's one thing that you can kind of rally around as a politician now, regardless of your stance on different things, it's being able to get your constituents more of what they want, which is more quality college and NFL football. So it'll be very, very interesting to see. I think they'll end up going to 14 teams. And as you do that, like, you got to remember, guys, there's no waiver wire in college football.
Right.
There's no, like, ability if you lose three corners to say, hey, we're just going to go get another guy like who we had in training camp. So that, there's a lot of issues here that they're going to have to work through as you start expanding the schedule.
Right, you're right, Bobby. By the way, Ohio State plays Oregon on October 12th. The weekend after that, it's Texas taking on Georgia. And it's going to be fun because barring some crazy injuries, Bobby, all four of those teams will be in the playoff.
Yeah, you would think. I mean, like you said, barring that, I mean, because you look at the Big Ten, the SEC, I think it's probably safe to say that the top three teams are going to get in from both of those conferences. So you assume probably the two teams playing the conference championship and probably a third team as well. So, yeah, like they're going to get in there. It's going to be fun. It'll be exciting. There's going to be a lot of rematches. You could see teams for the first time, guys. Teams play each other three times.
Right.
You know, I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility.
And we've always said, I don't know what Wisconsin's going to be, but if Georgia doesn't win the SEC championship, has to go on the road to, like, Camp Randall. That's the kind of cool stuff we're going to see in this playoff.
That's, you mentioned that the seeds 5-12 in the first 5-8 getting home field seedings, and that's going to be awesome. It's going to be really exciting. I don't know how they're going to try to manage this moving forward because you think about it, that's great. It's home, and so obviously you'll have a packed stadium there, but the travel cost and the seat expense and everything, as you start asking people to go to, you know, conference championship and then a couple other games, you try to get people on the road. Like, it's going to be taxing. So I'm curious to see how they're going to try to mitigate that, because it's one thing you don't have in the NFL. You play all home games, and how that's going to move forward. I think, you know, you got to try something to figure out what works and what doesn't. And so I'm sure after the first two or three years, we'll see another iteration of this.
And again, Georgia could have somebody at home at Sanford Stadium. It's going to be a blast for us down here. All right, Bobby, we will talk to you once the season kicks off, man. Thanks for coming on the show.
I appreciate it, guys. Anytime.
You got it, man. Catch him on SiriusXM. That's our buddy Bobby Carpenter. It is Dukes and Bell with our man Chris hanging in for Carl today. This hour of the show brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Coming up in Guy Talk, they just showed what the new Olympic outfits are going to look like when Team USA walks in Paris. I got to tell you, I'm a little underwhelmed. I'll explain all that. And first, we get Whataburger. Now, what new hamburger chain is coming to Georgia?
Ooh.
I got some consumer news you can use.
It's time for fun. It's time for Guy Talk.
Yes! Never mind.
It's time for shenanigans. Yes! Yes! Brought to you by Hooters. If the game is on, it's on at Hooters. Any conference, all season long.
Where the players play, we're going to be hitting the road on Friday. We're going to be over at State Farm Arena because Caitlin Clark and the FIVA are coming, right?
Yeah, that's going to be a massive, massive event. And let's see if she gets whack-a-mole by one of the Dream players.
Yeah, we're going to find out. I know that, and we'll talk more about that when we get out there on Thursday and Friday. Thursday, we're going to be at Hudson Grill.
Right? Downtown, yeah.
Right down Marietta Street, yeah. Right? So I don't know what the occasion is, but we'll be out there. So come join the party, pal.
Food and booze.
That's generally how it works for us. Story number one today for some Guy Talk. Ralph Lauren is still the official outfitter for a Team USA for the Olympics. He's been doing that for a number of years, going all the way back to since, what, I think 2008. So Ralph, they got these jackets that kind of look like sort of cool 1920s retro, but they're rocking jeans. What do you make of our USA athletes rolling into the stadium in Paris for the Olympics wearing jackets with jeans?
I mean, it feels like a bad 1980s commercial, right?
Well, I mean, yeah, it does look like something the Brat Pack would wear. Now, again, if you're a middle-aged guy in Vegas, an untucked dress shirt and jeans is kind of the uniform with a sport coat.
You're right.
But not when you're like the top 0.001% of people on the planet. So I saw the video of it. The jerseys and some of the stuff you'll see, the track suits are pretty much standard fare. Not much new there, but there's a degree of controversy. You know what Ralph Lauren's real last name is?
No.
Lipschitz.
Is it really?
You didn't know that?
No.
You didn't know that?
Wow. Right?
I see now why he changed it. It's a lot. Lauren is a lot cooler.
Yes. Could you imagine, like, and now Polo by Lipschitz?
No. Didn't have that same feel. Not even in the slightest, no.
Yeah, by the way, did you wear Polo as a kid? The Polo green bottle?
Oh, I still, not the cologne, no. I'm still big into the Polo shirts, but right. No, didn't do Polo cologne.
I got a couple of Polo shirts, but yeah, it was the Polo sport, which you can still wear. It's a clean, fresh set. But anyway, Ralph Lipschitz is still the guy who's outfitting the Olympic team, and a lot of folks are saying, a little tacky. I don't know. Look cool on the athletes because they're obviously beautiful people.
Yeah.
Did you see what they're wearing in the closing ceremonies?
No.
It looked like coveralls for a NASCAR team. Look it up, Mike. It's horrendous.
What?
They
I'm looking at it right now.
Coveralls.
Yeah, that's jive. What the hell? Yeah, who came up with that idea? Obviously, someone who works for Ralph Lipschitz.
Well, I think they're trying to play on the whole, you know, retro is in thing, but right. I think they took it a step too far.
Yeah, I mean, the jacket with the jeans and the dress shirt, it's not bad. It doesn't look bad. It's just, you know, some people are saying jeans, you know, because what do Ralph Lauren jeans go for? Like $140 a pair?
Pretty much, yeah.
So, out of my price range, I don't know about that.
I'm not saying I've quit when it comes to my jean game, but I am Old Navy now. Old Navy's got the stretch stuff you can get.
Oh, my gosh.
The relaxed fit.
I can't lie to you because I wore Levi's, and then for years I wore like Calvin Klein's. But now, I mean, I lost weight. I'm still down like 30 pounds. I cut my waist from a 38 down to like a 34. But I'm still not. I mean, I'm still wearing the, you know, the stuff you get from like from Old Navy because it just fits better.
I swear, I thought I would never be a cargo shorts guy, and then wifey bought me a pair of those recently from Old Navy, and I'm like, I kind of understand the appeal of them now. Yes. Right.
Wait, she bought them for you?
She bought me. I thought cargo shorts
were like a cardinal sin. Like that is the outfit of like you know.
It's a dad thing. It's a dad thing. Yeah.
All right.
But, yeah, got them, and I was like, I understand these things now, yes.
Right. I wear these jeans from Old Navy, and they're kind of like, they're not skinny jeans because those are obviously not in style, but they're sort of like a slim cut. Now I can wear them. I can actually, you know, see my feet, which is a nice thrill. But yeah, so there, you can check it out, the Olympic. Just Google U.S. Olympic Team Duds, and you'll get the outfit. Jack in the Box is coming to Georgia.
Hey now.
Yeah, man, I'm a big fan. Jack in the Box, if you're out in the West Coast, in California, Arizona, you've probably been to one or two. They're going to open 15 restaurants in Georgia, according to Channel 2. Company has not announced which cities are yet to get the Jack in the Box, but according to Verdict Food Service, the chain will focus on, quote, burgeoning markets, Augusta, Macon, Savannah. I would imagine suburban Atlanta's got to be in the mix for a Jack in the Box.
Well, we have an opening right downstairs because they closed down the Moe's.
Right.
So Jack in the Box, come on down.
No, I'm a big, like, by the way, Jack in the Box, I would still put In-N-Out Burger over Jack in the Box, but some people are big loyal Jack in the Box guys. Whataburger, I love. I know some people. What makes it so special? I don't know. I ate it when I went to college, and I still love it. And it just I guess the fixings on the Whataburger, all the just pile them on high with the double with bacon is always great.
The appeal of Whataburger, excuse me, in the appeal of In-N-Out. Why is there not In-N-Out yet in the state of Georgia or like past the state of Texas?
Because In-N-Out was kind of like the I-10. Whataburger was in the I-10 corridor, and now of course we have it here. There's ones in Noonan. There's one up north. There's one up in Gwinnett. Right? They're all over the place. The line is still pretty big though. When I go down to the one in Noonan, I mean, you're still waiting about 15 minutes because people want it. They got to have it.
Well, I'll tell you what. Where I'm from up north, we didn't have a Chick-fil-A around me until about a year before I moved to Atlanta. And that place, you literally, no exaggeration, it was a 30 to 45 minute wait every time.
I got to be honest. I know it's funny because here in the South, we take Chick-fil-A for granted. Obviously, Truett, Kathy, the family. When I moved to work in Bluefield, West by God, Virginia, on WHAJ, the Two Virginia Superstation.
Oh my goodness!
The first time I had, I was like literally at the food court at the mall in Bluefield, and I'm like, "What is this?" I smelled it. I was like, "I must have it." You ever heard the story of the sales guy we had? I
don't think so. No.
All right, Barry, this might be one you haven't heard because I've been with Oren now going on 20 years. He's heard all these stories. We had a sales guy. who worked at our station. We had a top 40 station, a country station, and we had a news talk that I did the sports show on that on the weekends.
Okay.
But anyway, we had a guy, big sales guy. He's a big guy too. He's a big little heavy set dude. And we had sales, like, it's still like this for a lot of companies. You have a territory. You can't go beyond that. That's where you work. You don't pilfer something from outside.
Infringe upon.
Right.
Yeah,
that's
some
other sales guy's territory. Yep. Well, this guy would drive like 20 miles out of his way to get to the Chick-fil-A at the Mercer Mall in Bluefield. And apparently it got back to the boss. And we're in the office, and where the DJs, because we were DJs back then, it's top 40, but where the DJs were right down the hall, we had this boss, Ray, real country, and I hear him just giving this guy a butt whoop, and I just ripping him a new one. And the line was, he goes, "Now listen, I tell you, you got to stay in your territory. You better get that chicken off your back."
Oh, no.
And so from down the hall, we're like, and everybody just, we couldn't stop. We literally just
fighting
started
over Chick-fil-A, really?
We're literally crying, laughing, like, "You better get that chicken off your back." Because this guy literally would drive like an hour. He'd be somewhere in the other part of the state and drive down to get his Chick-fil-A.
He was probably billing those miles, too.
Yeah, what's that, New Jack City? He'd be calling me. He'd be calling me.
We had a sales guy. Man, I've got to do Bluefield stories. We had a guy. So he would do like these classified ads for dating. This is like pre-internet, guys. This is like 1990. And I won't say his last name, but his name was Clay. And he ran like the country station. And same thing. We overhear him on a phone. And he must have been talking to a woman who called from the personal ads. And so he's like, he goes, "What do I look like?" Well, he looked like Yosemite Sam. But he goes, he sits there and he goes, and I hear him say this. He goes, "Well, my hair is red. My beard is white. My eyes are blue. Hello?"
Whoops.
On the soul of my father. Took, huh? On the soul of my father. My hair is red. My beard is white. My eyes are blue.
And that was it. That was it.
Hello? That's it. Hey, one last nugget. We talked about this at the end of the show. I know we're on radio. It's not a visual medium. But one of the best websites, it's always hysterical, is a BSO, Black Sports Online.
Yes.
If you're looking for the full video, you can get it. I know Andy Randy talked about it yesterday. We didn't have time for us yesterday. But the Eagles linebacker, or maybe soon to be former Eagles linebacker, Terrell Lewis, former Alabama player. He's with an escort. Goes by the name of Mia Mercy. She's also a, quote, influencer, end quote. But the video is going viral where it looks like they had an arrangement. Sometimes they say you're not paying for the sex, you're paying for to leave or for her to leave. Well, in this case, he tries to leave without paying, and you've got a naked woman chasing him down the hallway. And whether this was a buddy's video, where'd the video come from? Was it one of his boys or
it was
the hotel?
One of his boys in the hotel room they took it. Yeah, because the angle was, it looked like a cell phone.
Right. So
he chased her out the room.
He's literally running like he stole something, and she ran. I don't know if this young lady ran track or something, as they talk about in the article, but this, you got a woman naked, and she's running like a 4.3 40 down the stairs.
She was booking it.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, man, she's built for comfort. She's got some wheels and the stuff that a lot of our audience enjoys. But it's out there, so can't really put the link up on our Twitter because they
just search
on
for
that.
It.
Yeah, just use that good old Google, Mike Bell.
Be Googling, or just check out BSO, and you'll get a kick. There you go. Hey, man, that's your Guy Talk, brought to you by Dukes and Bell. Hey, man, ale. The watermelon lime is out there, man. If your package store, your local Publix, your supermarket doesn't have it, you just got to find the guy. Literally, you got to say, "Hey, who buys the beer around here? I got to straighten him out," and then say, "Look, I'll commit to a six-pack or a case. They'll get the beer for you." But I know all over the North Side, South Side, Tower, I know where I live, Kedron World of Beverage down in Peachtree City. You just ask for it. They'll grab it for you, man. Coming up next, some more Falcons go into the Ring of Honor. Talk about that. And is this division such a slam dunk to win? Some folks in Tampa say not so fast. We'll explain.
It's time for fun. It's time for Guy Talk.
Yes! Never mind.
It's time for shenanigans. Yes! Brought to you by Hooters. If the game is on, it's on at Hooters. Any conference, all season long.
Where to play is play. We're going to be hitting the road on Friday. We're going to be over at State Farm Arena because Caitlin Clark and the FIVA are coming, right?
Yeah, that's going to be a massive, massive event. And let's see if she gets whack-a-mole by one of the Dream players.
Yeah, we're going to find out. I know that, and we'll talk more about that when we get out there on Thursday and Friday. Thursday, we're going to be at Hudson Grill.
Right, downtown, yeah.
Right down Marietta Street, yeah. Right? So I don't know what the occasion is, but we'll be out there. So come join the party, pal.
Food and booze.
That's generally how it works for us. Story number one today for some Guy Talk. Ralph Lauren is still the official outfitter for Team USA for the Olympics. He's been doing that for a number of years, going all the way back to, since, what, I think, 2008. So, Ralph, they got these jackets. It kind of looked like sort of cool 1920s retro, but they're rocking jeans. What do you make of our USA athletes rolling into the stadium in Paris for the Olympics wearing jackets with jeans?
I mean, it feels like a bad 1980s commercial, right?
Well, I mean, yeah, it does look like something the Brat Pack would wear. Now, again, if you're a middle-aged guy in Vegas, an untucked dress shirt and jeans is kind of the uniform with a sport coat.
You're right.
But not when you're like the top 0.001% of people on the planet. So I saw the video of it. The jerseys and some of the stuff you'll see, the track suits are pretty much standard fare. Not much new there, but there's a degree of controversy. You know what Ralph Lauren's real last name is?
No.
Lipschitz.
Is it really?
You didn't know that?
No.
You didn't know that?
Wow.
I see now why he changed it. It's a lot. Lauren is a lot cooler.
Yes. Could you imagine, like, and now Polo by Lipschitz?
No. Doesn't have that same feel. Not even in the slightest, no.
Yeah, right. By the way, did you wear Polo as a kid? The Polo green bottle?
Oh, I still, not the cologne, no. I'm still big into the Polo shirts, but
right.
No, didn't do Polo cologne.
I only got a couple of Polo shirts, but yeah, it was the Polo sport, which you can still wear. It's a clean, fresh set. But anyway, Ralph Lipschitz is still the guy who's outfitting the Olympic team, and a lot of folks are saying, a little tacky. I don't know. I mean, it looked cool on the athletes because they're obviously beautiful people.
Yeah.
Did you see what they're wearing in the closing ceremonies?
No.
It looked like coveralls for a NASCAR team. Look it up, Mike. It's horrendous.
What?
They
I'm looking at it right
like
now.
Coveralls.
Yeah, that's jive. What the hell? Yeah, who came up with that idea? Obviously, someone who works for Ralph Lipschitz.
Well, I think they're trying to play on the whole, you know, retro is in thing, but
right.
I think they took it a step too far.
Yeah, I mean, the jacket with the jeans and the dress shirt, it looks, I mean, it's not bad. It doesn't look bad. It's just, you know, some people are saying jeans, you know, because what do Ralph Lauren jeans go for? Like $140 a pair?
Pretty much, yeah.
So, out of my price range, yes. I don't know about that.
I'm not saying I've quit when it comes to my jean game, but I am Old Navy now. Old Navy's got the stretch stuff you can get.
Oh, my gosh.
The relaxed fit.
I can't lie to you, because I used to wear, I wore Levi's, and then for years I wore like Calvin Klein's. But now, I mean, I lost weight. I'm still down like 30 pounds. I cut my waist from a 38 down to like a 34. But I'm still not, I mean, I'm still wearing the, you know, the stuff you get from like, you know, from Old Navy because it just fits better.
I swear, I thought I would never be a cargo shorts guy. And then wifey bought me a pair of those recently from Old Navy. And I'm like, I kind of understand the appeal of them now, yes.
Right.
Wait, she bought them for you?
She bought me a pair
of cargo
shorts.
I thought cargo shorts were like a cardinal sin. Like, that is the outfit of, like,
It's a dad thing. It's a dad thing. Yes.
All right.
But yeah, got him. And I was like, I understand these things now, yes.
Right. I wear these jeans from Old Navy, and they're kind of like, they're not skinny jeans because those are obviously not in style, but they're sort of like a slim cut. Now I can wear them. I can actually, you know, see my feet, which is a nice thrill. But, yeah, so you can check it out, the Olympic. Just Google U.S. Olympic Team Duds, and you'll get the outfit. Jack in the Box is coming to Georgia.
Hey, now.
Yeah, man, I'm a big fan. Jack in the Box, if you're out in the West Coast, in California, Arizona, you've probably been to one or two. They're going to open 15 restaurants in Georgia, according to Channel 2. Company has not announced which cities are yet to get the Jack in the Box, but according to Verdict Food Service, the chain will focus on, quote, burgeoning markets, Augusta, Macon, Savannah. I would imagine suburban Atlanta's got to be in the mix for a Jack in the Box.
Well, we have an opening right downstairs because they closed down the Moe's.
Right.
So Jack in the Box, come on down.
No, I'm a big, like, by the way, Jack in the Box, I would still put In-N-Out Burger over Jack in the Box, but some people are big, loyal Jack in the Box guys. Whataburger, I love. I know some people, what makes it so special? I don't know. I ate it when I went to college, and I still love it. And it just, I guess the fixings on the Whataburger, all the just pile them on high with the double with bacon is always great.
The appeal of Whataburger, excuse me, the appeal of In-N-Out, why is there not In-N-Out yet in the state of Georgia or like past the state
right.
of Texas?
Because In-N-Out was kind of like the I-10, Whataburger was in the I-10 corridor, and now, of course, we have it here. There's ones in Noonan, there's one up north, there's one up in Gwinnett, right? They're all over the place. The line is still pretty big, though, when I go down to the one in Noonan. I mean, you're still waiting about 15 minutes because people want it. They got to have it.
Well, I'll tell you what, where I'm from up north, we didn't have a Chick-fil-A around me until about a year before I moved to Atlanta. And that place, you literally, no exaggeration, it was a 30 to 45 minute wait every time.
I got to be honest, I know it's funny because here in the South, we take Chick-fil-A for granted. Obviously, Truett, Kathy, the family. When I moved to work in Bluefield, West by God, Virginia, on WHAJ, the Two Virginia Superstation.
Oh my goodness!
The first time I had, I was like literally at the food court at the mall in Bluefield, and I'm like, "What is this?" I smelled it. I was like, "I must have it." You ever heard the story of the sales guy we had?
I don't think so. No.
All right, Barry, this might be one you haven't heard because I've been with Oren now going on 20 years. He's heard all these stories. We had a sales guy who worked at our station. We had a top 40 station, a country station, and we had a news talk that I did the sports show on that on the weekends.
Okay.
But anyway, we had a guy, big sales guy. He's a big guy too. He's a big little heavy set dude. And we had sales, like, it's still like this for a lot of companies. You have a territory. You can't go beyond that. That's where you work. You don't pilfer something from outside.
Infringe upon.
Right.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
some
yeah.
other sales guy's territory. Yep. Well, this guy would drive like 20 miles out of his way to get to the Chick-fil-A at the Mercer Mall in Bluefield. And apparently it got back to the boss. And we're in the office, and we're the DJs, because we were DJs back then, it's top 40, but where the DJs were right down the hall, we had this boss, Ray, real country. And I hear him just giving this guy a butt whooping, just ripping him a new one. And the line was, he goes, "Now listen, I tell you, you got to stay in your territory. You better get that chicken off your back."
Oh, no.
And so from down the hall, we're like, and everybody just, we couldn't stop. We literally
fighting
just
over Chick-fil-A, really?
We're literally crying, laughing, like, "You better get that chicken off your back." Because this guy literally would drive like an hour. He'd be somewhere in the other part of the state and drive down to get his Chick-fil-A.
He was probably billing those miles, too.
Yeah, instead of New Jack City, he'd be calling me. He'd be calling me.
We had a sales guy. Man, I've got to do Bluefield stories. We had a guy. So he would do like these classified ads for dating. This is like pre-internet, guys. This is like 1990. And I won't say his last name, but his name was Clay. And he ran like the country station. And same thing. We overhear him on a phone. And he must have been talking to a woman who called from the personal ads. And so he's like, he goes, "What do I look like?" Well, he looked like Yosemite Sam. But he goes, he sits there and he goes, and I hear him say this. He goes, "Well, my hair is red. My beard is white. My eyes are blue. Hello?"
Whoops.
On the soul of my father. Took, huh? On the soul of my father. My hair is red. My beard is white. My eyes are blue.
And that was it. That was it.
Hello? That's it. Hey, one last nugget. We talked about this at the end of the show. I know we're on radio. It's not a visual medium. But one of the best websites, it's always hysterical, is a BSO, Black Sports Online.
Yes.
If you're looking for the full video, you can get it. I know Andy Randy talked about it yesterday. We didn't have time for us yesterday. But the Eagles linebacker, or maybe soon-to-be former Eagles linebacker, Terrell Lewis, former Alabama player. He's with an escort. Goes by the name of Mia Mercy. She's also, quote, influencer, end quote. But the video is going viral where it looks like they had an arrangement. Sometimes they say you're not paying for the sex, you're paying for to leave or for her to leave. Well, in this case, he tries to leave without paying, and you've got a naked woman chasing him down the hallway. And whether this was a buddy's video, where'd the video come from? Was it one of his boys or his hotel?
It was one of his boys in the hotel room they took it, yeah, because the angle was, it looked like a cell phone.
Right. So
as he chased her out the room.
He's literally running like he stole something, and she ran. I don't know if this young lady ran track or something, as they talk about in the article, but this, you got a woman naked, and she's running like a 4-3-40 down the stairs.
She was booking it.
Yeah. And I tell you what, man, she's built for comfort. She's got some wheels and the stuff that a lot of our audience enjoys. But it's out there, so can't really put the link up on our Twitter because they
just search for it.
Yeah, just use that good old Google, Mike Bell.
Be Googling, or just check out BSO, and you'll get a kick. There you go. Hey, man, there's your Guy Talk, brought to you by Dukes and Bell. Hey, man, ale. The watermelon lime is out there, man. If your package store, your local Publix, your supermarket doesn't have it, you just got to find the guy. Literally, you got to say, "Hey, who buys the beer around here? I got to straighten him out." And then say, "Look, I'll commit to a six-pack or a case. They'll get the beer for you." But I know all over the north side, south side, Tower, I know where I live, Kedron World of Beverages down in Peachtree City. You just ask for it. They'll grab it for you, man. Coming up next, some more Falcons go into the Ring of Honor. Talk about that. And is this division such a slam dunk to win? Some folks in Tampa say not so fast. We'll explain.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games and a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.